Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhai, and today Masechus Yuma Daf Tezvav. The first parak, Shiva's Yami. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a Mishnah in Tamid states that the Kohen selected to do Zrikas Adam of the Tamid throws the blood on the northeast corner and then circles the Mizbeach and throws the blood on the southwest corner. Now, Bryce was brought concerning this mission that Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah changes the procedure and says that when the Kohen comes to the southwest corner, he places the blood on the western wall of the Mizbeach, and then, after rounding the corner, he places the blood on the southern wall. So the Gemara asks why Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah requires two distinct applications of the blood, unlike any other Ola. And Rabbi Yochanan answers, in the name of one of the members of Rabbi Yana's yeshiva, that it says in the Pasuk, in connection with the additional Karbanos brought on Rosh Chodesh, Usir Izim Echad Chatzos Hashem, Al Olas HaTamid Ya'aseh V'Nisko, and one he-goat for a Chatzos to Hashem, in addition to the Olas HaTamid, shall be made, and its wine libation. Now the Tamid is an Ola, yet in this Pasuk, the Torah states that the Kohen shall perform the procedure of a Chatzos in connection with it. So how is this done? He performs one application that's tantamount to two by dashing the blood on the northeast corner, like an Ola, and then does separate applications on the southwest corner, like a Chatzos. Point number two, the more questions Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah's interpretation of the Zrikas Adam procedure for the Tamid. Let the Kohen place the first blood application, which is Achas Shehishtaim, one that's tantamount to two, below, on the lower half of the Mizbech, a Kamaisa Ola, in the manner prescribed for an Ola, and then place the next application, which is Shtaim Shen Shtaim, two that are in fact two, above, on the upper part of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Chatzos, in the manner prescribed for a Chatzos. Why place the latter applications, which are supposed to resemble those of a Chatzos, on the lower half of the Mizbech, in a manner inconsistent with the procedure for a Chatzos? The Gemara answers, L'matzim v'dam she'chetzim l'mal v'chetzim l'mata. We don't find anywhere blood applications of which half are placed above and half are placed below. And point number three, the Gemara asks why the Kohen applied the blood to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach and then the southwest instead of the reverse order, and answers that it said, Kopina sha'tapona uyu el derech yamin l'mizrach. All the turns that you make in the performing of the Avodah should only be to the right and to the east. And it so happens that the Kohen would encounter that corner, the northeast corner, first. So once again, the three points are number one. A Mishnah in Tamid states the Kohen selected to do Zrikas Adam of the Tamid throws the blood on the northeast corner and then circles the Mizbeach and throws the blood on the southwest corner. A Braisa was brought concerning this mission, Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah changes the procedure and says that when the Kohen comes to the southwest corner, he places the blood on the western wall of the Mizbeach, and then, after rounding the corner, he places the blood on the southern wall. So the Gemara asks, why Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah requires two distinct applications of the blood, unlike any other Ola? And Rabbi Yochanan answers in the name of one of the members of Rabbi Yana's yeshiva, that says in the Pasuk, in connection with the additional Karbanos brought on Rosh Chodesh, Usir Izim Echad Chatzos Hashem, Al Olas HaTamid Ya'aseh V'Nisko, and one he-goat for a Chatzos to Hashem, in addition to the Olas HaTamid, shall be made, and its wine libation. Now the Tamid is an Ola. Yet in this Pasuk, the Torah states that the Kohen shall perform the procedure of a Chatzos in connection with it. So how is this done? He performs one application that's tantamount to two by dashing the blood on the northeast corner, like an Ola, and then does the separate applications on the southwest corner, like a Chatzos. Point number two, the Gemara questions Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah's interpretation of the Zrikas Adam procedure for the Tamid. Let the Kohen place the first blood application, which is Achas Shehishtaim, one that's tantamount to two, below on the lower half of the Mizbeach, a Kamaisa Ola, in the manner prescribed for an Ola, and then place the next application, which is Shtaim Shen Shtaim, two that are in fact two, above, on the upper part of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Chatzos, in the manner prescribed for a Chatzos. Why place the latter applications, which are supposed to resemble those of a Chatzos, on the lower half of the Mizbech, in a manner inconsistent with the procedure of a Chatzos? The Gemara answers, we do not find anywhere blood applications of which half are placed above and half are placed below. And point number three, the Gemara asks why the Kohen applied the blood to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach and then the southwest instead of the reverse order. And answers that it said, Kolpina sha'tapona uyu el derech yamin l'mizrach. All the turns that you make in the performing of the Avodah should only be to the right and to the east. Bereisha b'hu paga, and it so happens that the Kohen would encounter that corner, the northeast corner, first. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Tezvav, and our standard simmon is a fruit bowl. And we get to that because two is Tu B'Shvat. We think of fruit, and we use a fruit bowl to make it a little bit easier to work with as a simmon. So fruit bowl is a simmon. So here goes. The Kohen who used a fruit bowl to administer Dama, the Tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood in the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall, like a Chatzos, making sure to do them both on the lower half, and always turn to the right. Once again, it's a motion. The Kohen who used a fruit bowl, that must be one Daf Tezvav. The Kohen who used a fruit bowl to administer Dama of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, and threw the blood in the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall and then the southern wall, like a chatas, which reminds Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, changes the procedure of the Tumanin and says that after the Kohen throws the blood on the northeast corner, instead of then throwing it on the southwest corner, he comes to the southwest corner, he places the blood on the western wall of the Mizbech, and then, after rounding the corner, he places the blood on the southern wall. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah requires two distinct applications of the blood, unlike any other Ola. And Rabbi Yochanan answers in the name of one of the members of Rabbi Yana's yeshiva that says in the Pasuk, in connection with the additional Karbanos brought on Rosh Chodesh, Usir Izim Echor Chatas L'Hashem O Ola Zatamid Yaseh Nevisko, and one he-goat for a Chatas to Hashem, in addition to the Ola Zatamid, shall be made, and its wine libation. Now the Tamid is an Ola, yet in this Pasuk, the Torah states that the Kohen shall perform the procedure of a Chatas in connection with it. So how is this done? He performs one application, that's tantamount to two, by dashing the blood on the northeast corner, like an Ola, and then does separate applications on the southwest corner, like a Chatas. So the Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood in the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall, like a Chatas, making sure to do them both on the lower half, which reminds the Gemara questions Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah's interpretation of the Zrikas Adam procedure for the Tamid. Let the Kohen place the first blood application, which is Achashi Hishtaim, one that is tantamount to two, below in the lower half of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Ola, in the manner prescribed for an Ola, and then place the next application, which is Shtaim Shen Shtaim, two there in fact, two, above on the upper part of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Chatas, in the manner prescribed for a Chatas. Why place the latter applications, which are supposed to resemble those of a Chatas, on the lower half of the Mizbech, in a manner inconsistent with the procedure of a Chatas? The Gemara answers, L'matzimu Dami Shechetzim L'mal V'chetzim L'mata. We don't find anywhere blood applications of which half are placed above and half are placed below. So the Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood on the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall, like a Chatas, making sure to do them both on the lower half, and always turn to the right. Which reminds us, they want to ask why the Kohen applied the blood to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach, and then the southwest, instead of the reverse order, and answers that it is said, Kol pina sha taponet lo yihu ela derech yamin lo mizrach. All the turns that you make in the performing of the Avodah should only be to the right and to the east. And so it happens that the Kohen would encounter that corner, the northeast corner, first. So once again, the Kohen who used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood on the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall like a Chatas, making sure to do them both on the lower half, and always turn to the right. All right, now it's time for our four blot back Chazara. Daf Yadav. So the Simmer Daf Yadav is stars. So here goes. In their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars. Gold stars. That must mean we're on Daf Yadav. In their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars on every gate. Which reminds the Rabban taught in a brace. The Pasuk says, Ubisharecho, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Plural. This teaches that whether they are gates of houses, gates of courtyards, gates of provinces, or gates of cities, they have the Chovas Mitzvah of mezuzah. Rashi explains that Shari Medinos, gates of provinces, require mezuzahs in a case where the province is surrounded by mountains and forests for many miles and people can only enter through gates. So in their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars on every gate and made sure to include curved archways, which reminds us, it was taught in Brayz, in the case of a kippah, a curved archway, Rabbi Meir requires a mezuzah, and the chamim exempted from a mezuzah. Abai clarifies that Rabbi Meir and the chamim disagree in a case when the archway is 10 tefachim high, and the archway's legs have a height of 3 tefachim, before the opening between them narrows to less than that of 4 tefachim. But the archway is not 4 tefachim wide along the entire minimum height of 10 tefachim. V'yesh ba'lachok l'hashim l'arba'ah, however, the wall surrounding the archway is large enough to allow one to carve into it to complete the entranceway to the full 4 tefachim along the height of the 10 tefachim. Rabbi Meir holds, Chokikim l'hashlim. We view the entrance as if it's enlarged, since it has potential to do so. But the Rabban hold, Ein Chokikim l'hashlim. We do not take the potential into account, but consider the archway as it presently stands. So in their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars over every gate, and made sure to include curved archways, shuls, and women's houses on the right side as people enter. Which reminds us, It was taught in a braisa, basic nesses, basic isha, basic shutfin, chayevis, but mezuzah. A shul, a house of women, and a house owned by partners require a mezuzah. One might have thought, beisecha, your house implies, and not her house, and not their houses, referring to a shul and house owned by partners. That's why we don't actually drive these conclusions, answer, because the next pasuk states, l'man yirbu yemechem yibeymenechem, in order to increase your days and the days of your sons. Hanu boy chai, b'hanu uboy chai. Do these people who own houses independently have a need for a long life, but not women and partners? Of course not. The Gemara then asks, then what's the need of the pasuk stating beisecha? And brings Rav, who answers, derech biascha, the word your house may be read your entry, indicating that the mezuzah should be affixed the way you enter. And when a person lifts his feet to enter a house, he lifts his right foot first. The Torah therefore teaches that the mezuzah should be affixed on the right side as a person enters. Daf Yud Beis. So the standard symbol Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, 12 brothers, that must be more on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers who are fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbeach in their room, which reminds the Gemara brings about Chokas Tanaim, whether houses in Yerushalayim can become Tamei from Tumat Saras, based on the condition that Tumat Saras occurs Be'eretz Achuzaschem, the land of your inheritance. The Tanakama rules that they cannot, because he holds Yerushalayim on Nishalka L'Shvatim, Yerushalayim was not apportioned among the Shvatim, and is therefore not considered an inheritance. Rabbi Yehuda rules that houses in Yerushalayim can become Tamei, as he holds that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. A brisa is brought to support Rabbi Yehuda that states, Maya Bechelko Shel Yehuda, which parts of the Beis HaMikdash were in the portion of Shev Yehuda, are Bais HaLoshakos HaAzaros, and which parts were in the portion of Binyamin, the Ulam, the Heichal, and the Beis Kodesh Kadashim, and a strip of land which projected from the portion of Yehuda and entered in the portion of Binyamin, Uvaya Mizbeach Banu, and on it the Mizbeach was built. And Binyamin itself was pained by it each day because of his longing to absorb it into his territory. We see from here, though, that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. The Gemara then brings a brisa that supports the Tanakama. So the 12 brothers who were fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbech in their room were finally convinced by the oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur with his linen belt, that it belonged to him, which reminds us. The Gemara says that while it's obvious that if a Kohen Gadol becomes disqualified the morning of Yom Kippur, before the Tamid Shel Shachar, the new Kohen Gadol is invested into his new position by bringing the Tamid Shel Shachar, but what is he invested into office with if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei after the Tamid Shel Shachar? So Rav Ada Bar Abba said Ba'avne with his pure linen belt, which was different than a Kohen Hedyot's belt, which was made of shatnez. Abai said, Lo v'shmona mahapech b'tzinura. Before proceeding to the Yom Kippur service, he dons the eight begotten of the Kohen Gadol and turns part of the Tamid offering over on the fire of the Mizbeach with a fork to hasten its burning, and this act is considered an avoda. And Rav Papa said his performance of the Yom Kippur service, even without any other act, invests him with his office, since only a Kohen Gadol can do the avoda on Yom Kippur. So the 12 brothers who were fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbech in their room were finally convinced by the oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur with his linen belt that it belonged to him, that they didn't deserve it because their belts were made of shatnez. Which reminds us, when Ravin arrived from Eretz Yisrael, he said that everybody agrees that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur was made of pure linen, and the rest of the year his avnet was made of kalaim. They disagree regarding the avnet of a Kohen Hedyot, both on the other days of the year and on Yom Kippur. For Rebbe says it was made of kalaim, well, Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon says it was made of pure linen. Therefore, according to Rebbe, the four begadim that the Kohen Hedyot wore were essentially the same as those worn by the Kohen Gadol throughout the year, besides his four additional begadim. Daf Yud Gimel. So the standard symbol for Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. When the bar mitzvah boy, that must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. When the bar mitzvah boy saw his rival waiting to give his pshetel in the wings, which reminds us that when Rebbe Yehuda stated in the opening mission that Beis Din should prepare a second wife for the Kohen Gadol in event that the first one dies, the Chachamim respond, Im ken, ein lo davar so. If so, there's no end to the matter, meaning that if we must be concerned of the first wife's sudden death, then we would have to prepare for the possibility that the second wife might suddenly die as well. So the Gemara questions why the Chachamim don't apply this objection to their own position that we need to prepare a second Kohen Gadol in the event that the first Kohen Gadol might become Tamei. They should need to prepare a substitute, for it's likely that he might become Tamei too. The Gemara answers Kohen Gadol Zaris, who a Kohen Gadol is conscientious to remain Tamei, and therefore it's unlikely that a second Kohen Gadol will be needed. When the Gemara questions why then a substitute is required at all, if the Kohen is a Zaris, it answers, Kevin de Avdin and Sara, Koshechein de Mizdarif Tfei. Since we prepare a rival for him, we'll certainly be even more conscientious about not becoming Tamei and seeing his rival take over. So when the bar mitzvah boy saw his rival waiting to give his pshat on the wings, he decided to really impress the crowd with his pilpul on what a kohen gadol says to two wives prior to Yom Kippur, which reminds us. The Gemara questions Rabbi Yehuda's position that a second wife needs to be prepared for the kohen gadol in the event that the first one dies. Beso amrachmana v'hachla beso, the Torah said, and he shall atone for himself and for his household, referring to his wife, whereas this woman, who's not yet married to him, is not considered his household. The Gemara continues that if, in fact, he married her before Yom Kippur, there'd be another problem, that the word beso implies that he has another wife and not two. So after rejecting numerous solutions, the Gemara finally arrives at an effective solution. He says to wife number two, this is your get on condition that wife number one does not die. He says, wife number one, this is your get on condition that I enter a Beis Knesses on Yom Kippur. If neither wife dies, wife number two was divorced all along since wife number one did not die. And he remains married to wife number one since her get was canceled because he didn't walk into a shul. If wife number two dies, she was divorced all along since the condition of her get that wife number one did not die was fulfilled. And he remains married to wife number one since her get was canceled as he did not walk into a shul. If wife number one dies, then wife number two's get is canceled since the condition was not fulfilled. If wife number one dies in Yom Kippur, then the Kohen Gadol, seeing that she's about to die, steps into a shul and validates her get so that she was divorced all along and he was only married to wife number two. So when the bar mitzvah boy saw his rival waiting to give his pshat on the wings, he decided to really impress the crowd with his pilpul on what a Kohen Gadol says to two wives prior to Yom Kippur and why he continues to serve and won't come to eat if one of them dies. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Kohen Gadol makriv onen ve'eino ocha. A Kohen Gadol brings karbanas while he's an onen, but he does not eat them. Rabbi Yehuda says, kol hayom, the entire day. After Rabbi's first interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda is rejected, he provides a second explanation. Lomar she'eino ovid kol hayom gezer shema yocha. Rabbi Yehuda meant to say that the Kohen Gadol may not serve the entire day of his aninas because of a gezera, lest he comes to eat of kadshim, which is forbidden. Rabbi clarifies that on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yehuda would permit the Kohen Gadol to serve in the event that his wife dies, as he will not come to eat when no one else is eating. Daf Yadalit. So the simmer Daf Yadalit is Yud, hand. So here goes. The Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands, that must be more on Daf Yadalit. The Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing huzzah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled a tower person, making him Tameh. Which reminds the next mission taught that all 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is sequestered, he does the Avodah in order to make him proficient in the various aspects of the Avodah which were typically not assigned to him. Rav Chisa says Rav Kiva cannot be the Tana of the Mishnah, since he said, Tahor shenapu lav hazah timatu, a tower person upon whom fell a sprinkling of water containing the Parduma ashes, thereby becomes Tameh. Since we know that Hazah is done in the Kohen Gadol all 7 days, how would he be able to perform the Avodah during this time? The Gemara explains Rabbi Akiva's reasoning. The pasuk could have stated, "Vihiza hatahor alav." The tower person shall sprinkle the purification waters upon him, and it'd be obvious that the person is tameh. Why did the pasuk add the words al hatameh upon the tameh? We can infer from here, al hatameh tower, va hatahor tameh. The tower person becomes tower, and the tower person becomes tameh. The Rabban say it's a kal v'chomer. If the tameh person becomes tower, doesn't it follow the tahor person should remain tahor? So the Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing huzzah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled the tahor person, making him tamei, that he carried the mechatas away for no reason, making himself tamei. Which reminds the Gemara questions how Rabbi Akiva would respond to the Rabban's Kal v'chomer, and answers that he'd respond that with respect to the Kal v'chomer, that Shlomo Melk stated, Amarti echama v'hi rechoka mimeni. I said I'd become wise, but alas, it's still beyond me. We see that even though the Kal v'chomer dictates that the tower person should remain tower, Shlomo Melch himself acknowledged the phenomena that he, in fact, becomes Tameh. According to the Rabban, what Shlomo Melch found beyond comprehension was the fact that the one who sprinkles the waters and the one upon whom the waters are sprinkled are both tower, whereas the one who touches the waters for purposes other than sprinkling becomes Tameh. When the Rabban challenged the fact that the pasuk states that the mazah, the one who sprinkles Shalmer's garments, clearly indicating that he is Tameh, they answered that the word mazah is referring to the one who carries the water for reasons other than sprinkling. The reason that he's referred to as the mazah is to teach that he only becomes Tameh if he's carrying the minimum shear for huzzah. So the Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing huzzah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled a tower person, making him Tameh, that he carried the mechatas away for no reason, making himself Tameh, thereby losing his opportunity to burn the ketores and prepare the menorah. Which reminds the Mishnah here that states that the Kohen Gadol burned the ketores and lit the lamps during his 7 days of being sequestered, which implies that the ketores was burned first, goes according to Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, whereas the Mishnah Tamid that teaches the ketores is burned after the preparation of the lamps reflects the opposing view of the Chachamim. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Mesechtas. Number 1. Wish up the going that we never find blood applications where half the blood is placed above on the Mizbeach and half below. That's on Daf Hezvav. Good. Number two. Which stuffing on the Rebuta holds that a Kohen Gadol only does not do the Avodah the entire day, lest he come to eat, except on Yom Kippur, where there's no concern of that. That's on Daf. Yud Gimel. Good. Number three. Which stuffing Makos Tanakam Rebuta whether Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim, which would dictate if houses in Yerushalayim can become Tameh from Tumat Saras. That's on Daf. Yud Beis. Good. Number four. Which something when they're having a second Kohen Gadol on the wings will make the Kohen Gadol even more of a Zari? That's on Daf. Yud Gimel. Good. Number five. Which something when the Chavim hold that Shlomo Melech was perplexed as to why one who touches the Mechatas for no reason becomes Tameh? That's on Daf. Yud Dalet. Good. Number six. Which something when the Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah holds that regarding the Tamid, one places the Dumb on the western wall and then on the southern wall, like a Chatas? That's on Daf. Tezvav. Good. Number seven. Which of the Rekiva holds that Hazah on a Tahor person makes him Tameh? That's on Daf. Yedad. Good. Number eight. Which of the Rekiva holds Kopino Shatapona lo Yehu el Derech Yamin lo Mizrach? That's on Daf. Tezvav. Good. Number nine. Which of the Rekiva holds how a second wife is prepared for the Kohen Gadol? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's on Daf. Yud Gimel. Good. And number 10, which stuff we have a three-way machlokas regarding how the substitute Kohen Gadol is invested into office if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh after bringing the Tamid Shel Shachar? That's on Daf. Yud Beis. Good. And now the three bonus questions. Number 1, which stuff regarding how Hillel dealt with Gerim, with converts? That's on Daf. Lamed Aleph and Shabbos. Good. Number 2, which stuff regarding why the Torah wrote the prohibitions for participating in the Pesach for both the Arel and the Ben Nechar? That's on Daf. Sadivav and Pesachim. Good. And number 3, which daf do we learn that one of the activities on the 15th of Adar was marking the graves? That's on Daf. Gimel and Shkalim. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.